Last year, at least 15 on-campus rapes were reported at the University of Georgia. Students received timely notifications of only two of them. Late last month, another alleged rape, and UGA did not inform students of the details. Now students are demanding more transparency from local officials. According to UGA, quote, "The University of Georgia logs and publishes every reported rape and issues timely warnings when circumstances warrant. The daily police log is available online and in person at the University of Georgia Police Department. Additionally, every reported rape is reflected in the annual Safe and Secure Report. This complies with applicable law, guidance, and generally accepted practices," end quote. Joining me to talk about this from Athens is Grace Walker, news editor for the Red and Black newspaper, which has covered this story very closely. Hi, Grace.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. And via Skype, we have Daniel Carter, who's president of Safety Advisors for Educational Campuses. Hi, Daniel.
Good morning.
Grace, let's start with a comment from the Red and Black editor-in-chief, Nicole Sartain. She says, first of all, her comments don't reflect the opinion of the paper or the school, but she's talking about the way students are feeling.
I want to feel safe on campus. I don't think that any student would say they wouldn't want to hear about something like this because they want to feel like the police and the university are all doing their jobs. Even if they're doing their jobs, you know, behind the scenes, the students want to see that. They want to know that.
Grace, how is this discussion playing out on campus for students?
I think that comment is really true to what we've heard from most students. Students have expressed that what they want from the University of Georgia is transparency. And so people are divided on when UGA should tell us about rape on campus, but people are generally united that we do want to hear about it.
Daniel, what goes into a decision on a university's part on how much information to release and when to release it?
Well, I think one of the first things we need to distinguish is the fact that we're talking about timely warnings, which are required under federal law. The Federal Gene Cleary Act have been since the law was first enacted in 1991. And they talk about things that are ongoing and immediate threats to students and employees. So there's one vehicle for getting out urgent information. That does not mean that's the only vehicle for transparency, but what goes into the decision-making process for issuing a timely warning, it has to be a crime that's reportable in a school's annual statistics, and it has to be something that is considered to be a threat to other students and employees. The United States Department of Education, which enforces the Cleary Act, has said that it's the institution's determination and that they will assess that determination using a reasonableness standard. So, for example, in the Virginia Tech mass shooting case in 2007, which was one of the first real times they actually analyzed the school's response, they assessed, for example, the school was treating it as a threat. That was their determination based on other security precautions being taken, and that a warning was not issued for approximately 2 hours, as many people know. So that's the same type of assessment that would be undertaken when reviewing any university's decision whether or not to issue a timely warning. There has to be that sense of ongoing and possible imminent threat. And there are plenty of other ways for a school to be transparent. There can be voluntary email lists that students can opt into. There can be press releases, disclosures on social media, all of which don't have to be under the rubric of a Cleary Act timely warning. So I think there's sort of a false choice being presented here that it either has to be a timely warning or just the passive disclosure made in the public crime log at the police department.
Yeah.
And that there are other options. There are other options to get this important information out in cases where there may not be this ongoing or immediate threat.
Let's hear. This is Liz Prince. She's a director with the UGA Health Center, and she's explaining here why sometimes a reported sexual assault needs to be handled with discretion.
When it happens, it's scary. We are seeing students who are experiencing severe trauma, and there's a process that goes along with that, and for each individual, it is different.
And then let's hear the response of sorts from Nicole Sartain again, a UGA student and editor-in-chief at the Red and Black, and she says she believes police have good intentions.
I don't want to put any of them in further harm's way, and I don't think that the police or anybody else does either. So I think it's a fair argument, I do. But I think students are just asking for a little bit more. Students are saying, you know, what can you do?
So, Grace, what's that more that students are asking for? If it's not this timely warning of a possible threat that Daniel just described, what would you like to hear?
Sure. So I think it's important to acknowledge that students as a whole are divided. So I've spoken to some people who would like to receive a notification or some kind of communication from the university every single time that a rape is reported on campus. And then there are others that acknowledge that by reporting every single rape, you may be reporting an incident that actually either didn't occur or an incident, you may be releasing information that could put a survivor of sexual assault in harm's way. And so I think there's a real divide between students regarding when the University of Georgia should send out notifications. A lot of people that I've spoken to would like to receive some kind of email or post on social media in the case of reported rapes, as particularly ones that occur on campus.
Daniel, is there a university that sort of is the model for how to respond when something is reported and how to make students feel safe?
I don't know that there's any one model. I think Virginia Tech certainly has one of the best emergency notification procedures that I've seen. Was adopted after the 2007 shootings, but it's not specifically geared towards sexual assault. And I think these are challenges that most universities across the country are still dealing with, and whether or not to issue timely warnings and under what circumstances when there are cases of sexual violence reported are challenges faced by universities and colleges all across the United States. So the University of Georgia is hardly unique in this regard. And oftentimes there's also other serious incidents such as shootings or armed robberies where law enforcement may apprehend a suspect very promptly or incident, right at the time of the incident. And I often hear that students want to be told about that type of information as well, even though the threat has been contained. They still want to know about it. And that's one of the reasons I strongly recommend that institutions have a channel other than timely warnings that students and others can opt into to receive information affirmatively, so they're not having to go down to the police department, inspect the crime log, or go to the police department website and look at an online crime log. More information about serious but not necessarily continuing or threats that for whatever reason don't prompt issuing a timely warning, they can access that.
So, Daniel, do warnings like this, if a university were to be more transparent, is there some kind of, preventative benefit when you let students know that there are at least reports of sexual assault on campus? I mean, what are the benefits of those warnings?
The underlying concept of the Clery Act is that if you acknowledge that crime occurs, you can empower students and others in your campus community to be a part of the solution to campus crime. So, yes, that's the fundamental tenet of the Federal Clery Act. The question is the channel that you're using. And right now there is not a federally mandated alternative choice to the timely warning. So what I'm recommending is that the students who are asking to get timely warnings about incidents, particularly of rape, that may or may not be an ongoing continuing threat, that they actually ask for something more transparent, more ongoing information about a variety of criminal reports that would be of use to them, that are for people who are interested in finding out more. Now, as you sort of alluded to, institutions do have obligations to protect the confidentiality, particularly of sexual assault survivors. And in fact, the Clery Act regulations require that institutions withhold as confidential the names and other identifying information of victims. So that's something that's actually federally required already, that they be protected. So for example, if you have an acquaintance sexual assault that occurs in the victim's room, that you're not supposed to identify the room because the room isn't the threat. The alleged perpetrator is the potential threat. And there's also significant debate about whether or not you identify a known suspect, whether or not they've been apprehended or not. There's been significant debate in the higher education community about that. But you're definitely supposed to protect the survivor to get at the a comment that you played earlier. That's something that is required.
Grace, do you feel safe on campus? I mean, all reports that we've gotten have shown that sexual assault is actually fairly common on college campuses. About 21% of female undergrads say they've been sexually assaulted since starting the school. Do you feel safe?
I think it's important to remember that the University of Georgia is not an isolated case study. So college campuses across the United States, this is a problem everywhere. As a female on campus, I know that I am at risk, but I think that this would be that would be the same circumstance if I were at any university, unfortunately. Sexual assault on campus is far too common. And by speaking to, in our special report, we spoke to a student who has reported sexual assault on campus before. And I think she made a really excellent point in that when she said that sexual assault is a pervasive issue and it is an ongoing threat for students.
So in the minute and a half that we have left, Daniel, many people are saying that all of this discussion about campus assault, even if you don't agree with it, is actually beginning a productive conversation. Do you see evidence that there is a productive conversation? In other words, a conversation that will produce changes?
Oh, yes. Over the last 5 years or so, the actual rate of reporting on college campuses across the country has at least doubled. If you look at Clery Act statistics from around the country. So, yes, we're having a very productive conversation about this. And I guess what my final point would be is that we need to do more education about what these sexual assaults on campus actually are. Roughly 90% of them involve acquaintances, and they're more complex than the typical stranger, stereotypical scenario of someone, you know, in the dark assaulting a stranger. And I think that's what we would be better served to focus on is better education about the true scope and nature of these offenses, campus climate surveys, which include victimization studies of individual students on campus, while not personal identifying information, do provide more information than, say, a Clery Act statistic or a timely warning. And I would rather that we focus our energies on doing that type of education than worrying about timely warnings for cases where they may not be the most applicable way to get information out.
That is Daniel Carter. He's president of Safety Advisors for Educational Campuses. We also heard from Grace Walker, news editor for the Red and Black newspaper at UGA. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.